This is the National Public Broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
The special thing about this group is that we know there's no dignity, not true dignity, not lasting dignity, unless we are serving God Almighty that made all of these things possible. These precious. I'm a scientist in my own right. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the environment that he produced, that created for our minds, following strictly instructions from his teacher, the one we were taught to call Savior, W.D. Farad, Farad Muhammad, W.F. Muhammad, W. Farad Muhammad. He went different names. And all those names have a message for us. He didn't do anything unnecessarily. Yes. And they produced an environment like a great magnet, and we were like dust. Iron dust. Dust. And that magnet just whoo, so powerful it just bring us a gush of iron dust. Soon as the magnet came into our presence, a gush of iron dust just whoo, and clung to that magnet. That's how powerful that magnet was. We couldn't break from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Too powerful. Some of us left the walls of the temple and got out from under the pressure of coming to the meetings 3 and 4 times, 5 times a week, and other pressures, but that dust was still clinging to the magnet. Couldn't get away from it. Some of us smoking cigarettes. A Muslim walk in, try to swallow it or put it in the new oven. Could get away from it. Powerful magnetism. Of people under great pressure. Under pressure to prove the white world of supremacy, of white supremacy, a lie. They lied against your birthrights. They lied against your inheritance. They lied against your original pattern. That's with God. No one has a pattern on our creation but God. And they lied against the original plan. That's with God. And Frederick Douglass couldn't stand the pressure. Elijah Lovejoy, you know about that Elijah? He way back there. He couldn't stand the pressure. David Walker couldn't stand the pressure. Booker T. Washington couldn't stand the pressure. Out to prove white supremacy a lie. Du Bois couldn't stand the pressure. Mr. Farad came when Drew Ali was very popular with his Morris Science Temple, and Noble Drew Ali couldn't stand the pressure. He had to rise up against it. Mr. Farad came when Father Divine and was preaching that if you want to see Jesus, look at me. He's calling himself Father Divine. The white man didn't do anything about it either, because the white man understood the pressure. Yes. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he couldn't stand the pressure. And when he heard that there's an invitation to go another way, he asked no questions. And that's what my mother said, and that's what my father told me. Then when he heard Mr. W. Farad speak for the first time, He asked not one question. Only thing he asked is, how can I become a follower, a member? And the story is told by my family, by my father and mother, and by us now, their children, that on that night, he had one dime in his pocket. And he took out that dime and gave it to Mr. Farrar when they asked for charity. Can you imagine Mr. Farrar asking for charity in 1931? While the Great Depression was on? The Great Depression was on. And many whites were out there standing in soup lines. Can you imagine where the African Americans, the blacks were? Many whites were standing in soup lines. Rich whites lost all their money. They were jumping out the window, killing themselves. This is history. Actually committed suicide, some of them. They couldn't stand it. Now here the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is. If he had a dime, I'm sure he was saving that to pitch in with his friends and maybe become a shareholder in 1/3 of a bottle of whiskey. That's what he had that dime in his pocket for. And I know this because my father and mother told me about that situation at that time. And he gave his last dime to Mr. W.B. Farrar. And here's what Mr. Farrar said. The man was psychic. The man was psychic. He said, he didn't tell Elijah, my father. He said to the people, Elijah just gave me his last dime. And he named him that night Elijah Kareem. Kareem because he was generous. And Kareem has two strong meanings. One is generous, giving freely for good causes. And the other meaning is honorable and noble. Kareem, honorable and noble. So he gave him that recognition because he was on that night, or that evening, generous, very generous, given to a good cause. Given to a good cause is all. And look, it had to be the will of God that he didn't have 11 cents to give. He didn't have 11 cents to give. He had 10 cents. That's all he had to give. And 10 represents your conscience, your mind, your active living mind, your conscience. He had 10 cents to give, a dime. Now you who know about fighting, boxing, you know the referee want to know that you have your head clear. And if you're not up by 10, it's all over. Well, one thing I'm happy about when it comes to me, I don't need you to brag on me in this particular respect. I know that God has eased my way and has given me knowledge for the path. And I can walk it, baby. Praise be to Allah. Yes, I'm not bragging. I'm rejoicing. I'm thankful. Praise be to Allah. Yes, so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was already in the grip of God. Yes, he was. God had him go there with one dime in his pocket. So that it would be in the record as a symbolic testimony to the fact that God was there with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he came as a hopeless black man, beaten down by poverty and beaten down by the ugly image of his race that white world gave him. Beaten down in the pride of education, beaten down and spiritless. His wife had to bring him to the meeting. He couldn't come on his own. My mother brought him to that meeting. A lot of you don't know that. The first meeting with Mr. Deputy Farrar, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was brought to that first meeting by his wife and our mother, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad. We're celebrating 25 years. And the wheels are rolling. And the ride is good. Praise be to Allah. Yes. So, my mother said, she said, now, my sister Raya is here. I like it when I'm talking to you about the past, that she's here. Or I have a witness. And I don't think there's any of us who can recall all this as well and as vividly as my sister. She has kept in touch. I guess that's a blessing of Allah too. Allah has conditioned her, prepared her to retain what happened, to give it to us if when we need to. And
we will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
And I'm sure she can give much more than I'm giving of this. But my mother said to me, she said, son, she said, I said, I'm going, I have to give you this other little piece of it. It was a friend, a girlfriend of hers, who told her about the meeting. She didn't know about Miss Rod either. A girlfriend of hers told her that there's a man, and he's saying that we were not always like we are, that we were once living in our own land, and we wore fine silks. And she said to my mother, according to my mother's words to me, she said, I'm going back, and I don't know what the night was, I can't recall, I'm not going to try to say, but she said, I'm going back to hear him. She said, would you like to go with me? And my mother said, yes. She said, and son, she said, I thought that maybe I might hear something or see something that would help your father. That's why he went. All of that is a sign of God to me. I don't know what it is to you, but it's definitely a sign of God to me. And she said, so we heard him speak. She said, do you know, son? Which shows that all these years after that occasion, it was still amazing to her what happened. She said, do you know, son? And I know her voice. The son knows his mother's voice. And the way she said, do you know, son? The way she said it told me that that was a mighty, mighty occurrence. Something happened that had great gravity. She said, your father never took another drop of liquor after that. One time hearing Mr. W.D. Farrar. She said, and you know what he told me? She said, son, he told me, he said, Clara, when you get home, you got to pick off all that pork out of the icebox. Because Farrar had told him about fish skin, about pork and all that. So you have to take all that pork out of the icebox and throw it away. Throw it out. That was her word, throw it out. And then her voice changed. She said, son, I couldn't throw that pork away. Now listen, don't jump to the conclusion. Like one sister did, I gave a speech and I said, I walked into my home once and saw the television on and the children were there around the television and there was this pornography. We had HBO, human body odor. At pay-per-view. You're going to show pay-per-view in it. With your moral life and everything else, you ain't killed. So we had that, and there was these very obscene, sick, erotic things going on. And I'm telling you, when I saw it, I wanted to just take the TV. I wish I had a sledgehammer. I would have banged that TV once with the sledgehammer. It would have been broke to bits. It wouldn't have been usable, I know that. So anyway, I saw this, and I told my wife, I said, we have to get rid of this. And she agreed. See, sometimes you innocently slip into these things. You buying it for a good reason, but you're not conscious that there's a possibility that I'm not here, and the children, they don't even have to turn the TV on. You could have left it on the right channel, on the channel for that, and you went away into a nice program. But the TV is still on, so when the pornography comes time for it to come on, there it is, and the children are there to see it. So I told her we had to get rid of that, and we got rid of it. We got rid of it. We stopped subscribing to pay-per-view and human body odor. HBO. The sister, I heard her, I got the tape of you, sister, you're probably here too today. She said, sharing this after I gave it, you know, you give say something and they say if you pass it to 10 people, you might not recognize what you said after it reached the 10th person. So she said to an audience too, she was talking to believers. She said, yes, the man said that he had, and you know the story, so I'm going to get right to what she said. She said, and he had something done to the channel so they couldn't see it. Meaning, so leaving it for the audience to think that we wanted to see it. But we did dim it to the channels or something so the children couldn't see it, but we could still see it. Like we were hooked on that putrid stuff. Now don't think, oh, he's a Puritan. If he was in power, he wouldn't even let us watch HBO and pay-per-view. Yes, I would. Sure would. That's your business. But don't bring that funk in my house. And believe me, there are a lot of valuable programs on the HBO and pay-per-view, a lot of, but I didn't want it on there at all. No, I didn't think that maybe I could call them up. But I hear now they do have a way. There's some way now that you can control it, where you don't have that indecent showing on your channel. So you can get HBO now and pay-per-view, and I think that they have a way. I'm pretty sure I've heard that they have a way that you don't have to have the indecent programs there. That's good. And that shows you what decent people can do. It wasn't because of me, I don't think, but decent people, the pressure of decent people will keep this world right. Praise be to Allah, with the help of God and his angels, of course. Yes, so anyway, my mother, she said, son, I couldn't throw out that pork. She said, I had a girlfriend who had more children than I had, and she was poor, and I couldn't throw out that. I gave it to my girlfriend. She didn't say, don't tell this to anybody, but I know she meant I shouldn't tell it to anybody. She told me, she said, I didn't even tell my husband. Now, I understood why. I wouldn't have told him either. So that little man, he was just like the Elijah of the Bible. He could bring fire down from heaven on you. And sometimes he wouldn't know where the light does. The thing he brought it down on and burned up and turned to crystals and ashes, you know, he's still bringing the fire down. Yeah, look here, if you survive, buddy, you sure would do that again. Not let him know it or be in his company. So anyway, I learned a lot from that, what my mother was telling me. I learned a lot. And I'm still learning from it, as I recall it. I'm still learning from that. So God was with us. God's been with us all the time. Working out of sight. Isn't that an expression? Working out of sight. It has two great
God working and not seen. And his work is out of sight. Yes, he was working out of sight all the time. We know the story from there. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad eventually proved to be a great, great, faithful believer in Mr. Farrar. And Mr. Farrar made him the leader of all the ministers. His title given to him by Mr. Farrar was Supreme Minister. And he left the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in charge. I was a little baby, I didn't know about it, and I wasn't there to witness any of this. All this was told to me by those who did witness it. John Hassan, a faithful friend and supporter of my father, who worked as chief investigator in the Nation of Islam in Chicago, and also as special business secretary and assistant for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He told me, he said, W.D., he called me W.D., he didn't call me Wallace. John Hassan always called me W.D. He said, W.D., he said, when the Savior left, so he told us, the people, you could hear them, hear people sniffing and shedding tears, crying, because he had to leave. So he told them, you don't need me anymore. He said, here, H-E-A-R, here, Elijah. That's what he told them. And after being on the job of not building the Nation of Islam, on the job of preparing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to take over, he left and said, you don't need me anymore. Here, Elijah. And Elijah faithfully worked in obedience, in perfect obedience to his teacher. I saw him in the last years of his life, and he was so pressured by information that he couldn't argue with, that he had no way of knowing for most of his life as a leader. But now, people from Arabia coming to him, people from Pakistan coming to him, and they telling him what is Islam. That was one of you from circumstances even much better than my father's. A man, a foreigner, can come to you and tell you most outrageous things about the life of people abroad, and you will have no way of saying you're a liar or you're truthful, because you don't know anything about life abroad. Not in that level of education that Honorable Elijah Muhammad had, and not in that time that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in when Mr. Farrar made his appearance. No, the uneducated, deprived of education, information, culture, etc., they had no way of questioning Mr. Farrar. He could have told them that Saudi Arabia is a black man's country. All black people over there. He could have told him that. He wouldn't have known. How would he know the difference? So he had no way of questioning his teacher. And he had no will to suspect his teacher, since his teacher was appealing to him to join the effort to dignify and lift up the black man. He had no interest in questioning him. Just like you have no interest in listening to me if I question. You are still in the grip. Yes! And you think I'm angry with you? No, I love you. If you come here, I'll kiss you. I love you so much, I'll kiss you. And I'll kiss you and kiss you. And try to kiss you until you wake up. Yes, I love you. I can't help it. God has made me. Yes, God has made me to take over where my father left off, and to keep bringing you closer and closer to where you have to go to be at home with yourself and at home with your God. Great pressures, on the soul of the African American, on the soul of the black people. Great pressure. Because of the lie told against our worth as human beings in the world of human beings. Great pressure. You know, if you tell, especially when, you know, if you tell a child something ugly, very ugly, against how that child perceives his parent, you put a terrible, terrible pressure on that child's heart and mind. Likewise, when you tell a people who don't know, have been separated and excluded from information, separated from and excluded, kept out of information, so they don't have access to the records, they don't have access to the facts of history, and you tell them that they're subhuman. Put it in documents that protect the order of this society, the Constitution of these United States. That he's two-fifths of a man. Two-fifths of a man. And then we know that. We hear that and we know it. Maybe Du Bois, with his intellect, with his knowledge of people living in France and people of a different opinion, maybe he could hear that and not be pushed down in his dignity or out of his dignity. But the ignorant that can't argue back, when they hear that, it just goes quietly into the mind and reaches the soul, and without their mind even reacting, it began to work as a poison, like a terrible virus that sneaked into their system, and they don't even know what's making them so docile, what's intimidating them when the opportunity is there. Afraid to step into it. They don't know what's holding them back.
Join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.